Tonight, Brother Richard Massey will bring us our message. Brother Massey preaches for the Windmill Church of Christ near Weatherford, Texas. He serves as one of the elders there. He's been preaching the gospel for over 40 years. Tonight, Brother Massey, it's high time to wake out of sleep about repentance. Tell us about that.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and welcome to everyone who is listening tonight. I know that you have an interest in God and His Word and in salvation, or you would not be listening tonight. We're going to be talking about a very important matter, and I want to refer, first of all, to the subject of repentance that Jesus Himself addressed in Luke 13 and verse 3. He says the very same thing in verse 5. You may have read this before. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's what our Lord said. He said, repent or perish. And so we see that repentance is no small matter. We repent or we perish. Repentance can help us to be saved, but a failure to repent is going to cause us to be lost. Jesus' words were perish. He said the same thing, and this makes it even more important, one verse later in Luke 13 and 5. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so this establishes for our hearing how important this matter of repentance is. If we do not repent, Jesus says we're going to perish. But what does that mean that we would perish? Matthew 25 and verse 46, Jesus said that some would go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life everlasting. And so perish would mean everlasting punishment, a punishment that would never end. If we do not repent, we will perish. That means we will have everlasting punishment. Also in Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Repent or perish. Repent or be departing from the Lord forever into everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Repent or have everlasting punishment. Everlasting fire. Remember in Luke chapter 3, in verse number 2, Moses was in the wilderness and he saw a bush that was burning. The bush just burned and burned and burned and burned, but it never burned up. That was the curious thing about the bush. And it drew Moses' attention. And so God can make a bush that can burn and burn, but never burn up. And that's what perish means. You will be an everlasting fire. You will burn and burn and burn, but you'll never be burned up. Now, this is a lesson about repentance. And we've just talked about how important it is to repent. I don't believe you want to perish. I know that I do not want to perish. I do not want to depart from the Lord and be cast into an everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So repentance is imperative. And we need to mark that down right off the bat as we talk about this subject of repentance. It is ultimately important. And so we know what perish means. What about repentance? Now, what does repentance mean? Jesus explains that. He's a good explainer of everything that he has taught. And in Matthew 21, he tells a story about a man that had two sons. And he talks about repentance in this passage. I believe it's a classic passage on repentance. In Matthew 21 and verse 28, he says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he repented and went." Now, that's what repentance is. It's a change. It's a change of heart. It's a change of action. The son was told to go work in the vineyard, and he told his father, "No, I will not go." But then he changed his mind, and the Bible said he went. So Jesus said, you have to change or you will perish. You have to repent. You have to change your mind and change your behavior, or you will perish. And we've seen what perish means. It means we will be cast into a lake of everlasting fire, Revelation 21 and verse number 8. Now, what do we have to repent of? What does he want us to change in our lives? Well, let's turn to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse number 9. These are some of the things that we will have to change. This is what he wants us to repent of or change from. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" He wants us to change from being unrighteous, because they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Lord, can you tell us what unrighteousness is, what is in your mind? Well, sure. This passage goes on to say, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators," that's unrighteousness, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." So we have to repent or we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's talk about some of these things. We've read the word fornicator. You have to change from being a fornicator. Well, what is that? Well, that's where you're having sexual relationships, but you're not married. You may be living with someone that you're not married to. Or you may just have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You're not married, but you're having sexual relations. You have to change from that. You need to repent of that, or you are going to perish. Now, fornication would include homosexuality as well, but that's included in this verse as well, the effeminate or abusers of themselves with mankind. And we love homosexuals. We want them to be saved, and we love fornicators. We're saying this so that they will change. But it says adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. I've known people who had a wife, but they also had a girlfriend on the side. You know what that is? That's adultery. You have to repent of that. Sometimes a woman will have a husband, but she'll have a boyfriend on the side. Now, you're going to be lost unless you repent of that. You can't be a drinker. You can't be a thief. You can't go into stores and put things in your pockets or your purses. So these are things that we must repent of to change from, or we will perish. This is living unrighteously. And if we live unrighteously, we're headed toward eternal punishment. But these Corinthians, I'm glad verse 11 is here in 1 Corinthians 6, because verse 11 says they didn't continue once they heard the gospel. They didn't continue to commit fornication or idolatry or adultery. Verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." They used to do those things, but Christians don't do that. Christians don't commit fornication. But you are washed. That means they were baptized. But you're sanctified. We know that John 17:17 says we're sanctified by the word of God. We're sanctified by obeying the word of God, being baptized for the remission of our sins. It says you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Justification comes from faith, Romans 5 and verse 1, and by the Spirit of our God. And so we're talking about repentance tonight. If we do not repent, we will perish. Repentance means a change. And God tells us what to change from. We are to change from unrighteousness. Now, I want to ask you tonight, dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, have you changed? The Bible also says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Are you sorry for committing sins against God? That passage was 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 10. Romans 12 and 2 says, be not conformed to this world. That's what idolatry and covetousness would be, and drunkenness. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 and verse 2. What is a Christian? A Christian, someone who's repented. What does that mean? Well, he's changed. Changed from what? He's changed from living like the world. He's a changed person. He doesn't live unrighteously any longer. He doesn't live in the wickedness of the world. No, no, no. A Christian has changed his life. I don't believe the world knows that. I don't believe people who are in the church sometimes realize that. Sometimes people in the Lord's church will go to nightclubs on Saturday night, and then they'll go to church on Sunday morning. You haven't changed. You're still living like the world. That's not a changed person. That's not a person who's repented. Remember, the Lord said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You can't keep practicing the things of the world and still call yourself a Christian. I was preaching in Mineola, Texas one time many years ago, and an older lady, an older sister in Christ, I preached on repentance, and she came forward that night. And she said, I've been a Christian a long time, but you know what? I never repented. I was baptized, but I didn't change anything. I just kept on living the way that I had for all those years. And so she was baptized that night because she had changed her life. You need to be sure you have changed your life. You may have been baptized, and you may have changed, but gone back into the ways of the world. We're going to read now from Luke 15 a parable Jesus told about a young man that lived in his father's house, but he left his father's house. Now, this young man is you and I. This young man that leaves the father's house, that's you and that's me. You're in the Bible. I'm in the Bible. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. So that means all need to repent. And I love this story because it's a sweet story. It's sad at first, but it has a happy ending, and Jesus tells it. Luke 15 and 11, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Do you know that's you and I? God has given us life. He's given us ability. He's given us intelligence. He's given us youth and strength. And what do we do with it? We splurge it. We waste it on things of the world. Things of no profit, things that are sinful. Well, watch what happens to this young man. Now, this is Jesus telling the story. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain had filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now this is Jesus telling this story. And Jesus is telling us, when you leave the Father's house, you're going to end up in filth. The world is full of pollutions and corruptions, and I'm talking spiritually. Sin is spiritual corruption and pollution. And that's where this young man ended up. He left his father. He left God. Our Heavenly Father is our Father. And when we leave Him and we get into sin, and it's like getting into a pig pen. That's what Jesus said. Living out there in the world and committing adultery and fornication and lying and gossiping and cussing and carrying on, you're in the pig pen. You're in the trash pile. That's what Jesus said. And if you've ever been around a pig pen, you know how bad it smells. And that's why Jesus used this illustration and this parable to say, you don't want to be in that filth. Well, the good part about this account is, and I hope this is you as well, I want it to be me. And when he came to himself, reading on in verse 17, he said, how many servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Living out there in the world, you're not going to get fed with the things that you need to be fed with. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me to be as one of thy hired servants. Notice how humble he became. I just want to be a servant, Father. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. What a happy ending. You know, when he got the robe and the ring and the shoes and the fatted calf, when he repented. Beloved, it's a good thing to repent of your sins and come back home to your Heavenly Father. Don't live unrighteously. Don't live in the pig pen. Get out of that and come back home to your Father. It's a beautiful thing. He chose to leave and to go back home. That's what repentance is. You choose to get out of that. You'll be glad you did. Your Father will be glad that, and He'll welcome you home. If you'll get out of that trash pile of the world and get back into the church of Christ, get yourself cleaned up, put on those new robes, put away the evil, repent. Jesus said, if you don't repent, you'll perish. Do not die in that pig pen. Don't you do that, dear friend, you're listening tonight. Don't you die out there in that pig pen, that trash pile. Don't you do that to your soul. You'll be eternally lost. You'll perish. You've got to repent and do it quickly. You don't know when you're going to die. I spoke at a funeral today of a 53-year-old woman who laid down and went to sleep one day, and she did not wake up. That could happen to you tonight. You need to repent. There was a preacher a few months ago. He preached to the English and he preached to the Spanish. He got the COVID virus. He was in his 40s, and he died. His wife contracted the COVID virus. They were known in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and she also died. I'm glad to say they were faithful members of the church. We're very thankful for that. But I'm saying this to tell you, you don't know when you're going to die, and so you need to repent. Be wise. Be like the prodigal son and come home to your Heavenly Father. Now, someone may be saying, well, I'm not out there committing fornication. I'm not doing all of those evil and wicked things. I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm doing just fine, and I'm satisfied where I am. Well, you know, we're all in the Bible somewhere. You're in here. Well, maybe you're in Revelation chapter 3, in verse beginning in verse 14. This entire congregation in Laodicea had a problem. They thought they were fine. They thought everything was great, but the Lord said, no. No, you're not doing it like you think you're doing. They were members of the Church of Christ. They were in the church, but they had a problem that they needed to repent of. I want to read that with you in Revelation 3 and 14. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. These words are coming from Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I know thy works. You know what he can say about you and me and every congregation? He says, I know your works. He knows what you're doing, but watch this. He says that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You're not doing your best. You're not doing your worst. That's the way I always look at it. You're not cold, you're not doing your worst, but you're not hot either. You're not doing your best. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus said, repent or perish. I'll spew you out of my mouth. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We've got to repent. And that's what he tells this church at Laodicea. Now, notice their evaluation of what they were like in Revelation 3 and verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That was their evaluation of their congregation and of themselves. They were members of the Church of Christ. They said, we're doing fine. We're doing great. But here's what the Lord said about them. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? The Lord said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. No, you're not rich, but you could be if you would come to me, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You can't see, but I can help you to see. You're naked, but I can help you to. You remember the prodigal son? He came home. His father put a robe on him. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And so you may be out in the world. You need to repent. You may not be in the church. Repent of that. But you may be in the church. You may be like the Ephesians in Revelation 2. They had left their first love. They needed to repent. I want to read just a little further here in Revelation 3 in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Look at where Jesus is. He's not in that person's life. He's out of it. Hey, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Yeah, but you're lukewarm. You know where the Lord is? He's outside. He's wanting to come in. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I'm not in now. You need to repent so that I can come in, and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Look, if you'll repent, you will sit with me on my throne. I want you to let that sink into your mind just a little bit. Don't you know that's a good place to sit? You will sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The beauty of repentance. That prodigal son was in the pig pen. But his father brought a robe and a ring and shoes and killed the fatted calf and was merry. The beauty of repentance, the joy of repentance. And the Lord told this church, the Church of Christ, to repent. Dear brethren, this is an important, important subject. Repentance is something I hope that you have seen in this short and very brief study how important it is. And let me also say this, that in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul was preaching in the city of Athens, and he said this. This ended his sermon. He says, in the times of this ignorance, God winked, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. All men everywhere. That means people in North Korea. That means people in Germany, people in New York City and Chicago and Dallas and Houston, all men everywhere. This is a universal command. Now, why should we repent? Well, the next verse, verse 31 of Acts 17 says, because you need to repent, change your life, get out of that trash pile, get out of that garbage and that pig pen and change your life. Because, Acts 17:31, because God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man that he has ordained, and he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. Christ is now our Savior. Christ is our friend. Christ is our King. Christ is our High Priest. But on the day, the last day of the world, Christ is going to be our judge. And you need to repent because the judgment day is coming. You not only need to repent, but you need to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. You need to repent, change your life, get yourself out of that wickedness, whatever you're doing, lukewarmness, lack of love for God. And you need to come back to the Church of Christ and be restored to the Lord. Or you need to be, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to do that. You have to do that. That's not an option. The Lord didn't give us an option on that. You are commanded to do that. Acts 10, 44 and 45, he commanded them to be baptized, the Bible says. It's a command of God. Now, dear friends, we're saying these things because we love you. We love members of the Church of Christ, and we love those who are not members of the Church of Christ, and we're bringing these lessons during this week and this month to help you and to enlighten you, to inform you of what the Bible says. We want to make it clear, and we want to make it plain, and perhaps you have a question about something that we've said. Please get in contact with this broadcast, those in the broadcast of this preaching, and let them know what your question is. We'll give you a Bible answer for that. Thank you for listening tonight. We love you and we appreciate you so much. And please treat your soul right and be saved. Obey the gospel. Thank you so much for listening.